Let us turn to the book of Galatians, chapter 1 and verse 11. The book of Galatians, chapter 1 and verse 11. Galatians, chapter 1 and verse 11. The Apostle Paul writes, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man." Let me read this again. "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man." Today, with the help of the Lord, this will be the topic: the gospel not after man. The gospel not after man. The New International Version puts it this way. It says, "I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin." Can we say together, the gospel is not of human origin? Praise God. The gospel is not of human origin. So, first, we need to ask the question, what is the gospel? What is the gospel? Well, simply put, the gospel is the story of God. The gospel is the story of God. The God who was manifested in the flesh, who died in his body, gave his blood for our sins, and rose up the third day, conquering sin and death. So the gospel is about God, the one God who made us, created us, and now, because we fell into sin, he came to save us with his own flesh and blood. So, when we say gospel, we are talking about the good news. The bad news is the story of humanity, how we rebelled against God. But the good news is the response of God from heaven. So, the gospel did not come from the earth, sin came from the earth. Rebellion came from the earth, but the good news came from heaven. It came from God. That's why Paul said the gospel is not of human origin. This is God's story. It's not really our story. It's God's story of how he redeemed us from sin. Praise God. We are the passive players here. God is the active agent. The gospel is not of man. It's not of human beings. It is of God. It is made in heaven. If there ever was anything made in heaven, it is this, the gospel. Praise God. So, who revealed the gospel to this world? Who? The answer is Jesus himself. Who preached the gospel first? Jesus preached the gospel. You see, this gospel was hidden. It was a mystery in the beginning. Nobody understood it. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 9, the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 9, the Apostle Paul says, "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." You see, so Paul is saying that this gospel, this thing is a mystery. It has been hidden from the beginning of the world. I want you to know that even the prophets did not understand what they were saying when they preached about the gospel. They were anointed, motivated to speak. They were under the unction, but they had no idea what they were saying. They had no clue what they were saying. We know this because 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12 says the same. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12, the apostle Peter says, even he says, unto whom it was revealed, that is to the prophets, that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. In other words, when the prophets spoke, they were not ministering to themselves. They didn't even know what they were saying. They were ministering to us. But even we later did not understand what this was. So in other words, the prophets did not understand the gospel, although they spoke about it. And neither did the apostles understand what Jesus was talking about. Did you know that? When God came himself to talk about the gospel, because nobody understood it. Nobody could understand it. So the gospel was so precious, so powerful. The devil wants to stop it. That's why God came himself to preach it. Amen. What is so powerful, so important that God doesn't trust anybody? He has to come himself to talk about it. Because even his apostles could not accept that he's going to die for their sins. People just didn't understand what Jesus is speaking about. They loved his miracles. They loved when he walked on the water, raised up Lazarus. But for him to speak about dying and rising up, no. So do you understand that the gospel had to be preached by God? God was the first to come and declare this gospel, teach this gospel. Nobody would understand what he was saying. Nobody was prepared to understand what he was saying. Because if there is one message in the world the devil will fight against and fights against, it is the gospel. If we ask Satan today, Mr. Satan, of all the work that you do, and we assume that you're a very busy man, what percentage of your work takes up most of your work? I mean, what work takes up most of your energy? Satan would say the most important work that he has is to stop the gospel from reaching people. It is to keep people ignorant of the gospel. This is the number one task of Satan. Understand where most of the energy of Satan is going. You see? Do you think Satan is bothered with miracles happening? Do you think Satan is bothered about somebody having dreams of miracles, prophecies? He doesn't care. In fact, he would help you with that kind of ministry. But the moment you open your mouth to say, great is the mystery of godliness, God was manifest in the flesh, the devil comes. He will send a whole platoon, a battalion of demons to stop you from preaching the gospel. This is where most of Satan's energy goes today. Please understand this. So, the prophets didn't understand the gospel, although they spoke about it. Neither did the apostles understand what Jesus was talking about. In fact, the apostles refused to believe what he was saying, and they even went to the extent of rebuking Jesus. How about that? And do you know who was speaking, rebuking Jesus? Satan. Didn't I tell you? The moment you talk about the gospel, Satan will come and say, stop. Let's turn to Matthew 16, verses 22 and 23. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 22 and 23. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. So please notice, we have a clear example here that when Jesus himself began to propound the gospel, Satan came near Peter and began to motivate Peter to rebuke Jesus. Do you see how much Satan is invested in stopping the gospel? Satan recognizes what the most important message in this world is. Human beings do not value the message of the gospel, but there is one person and all his fallen angels with him. Lucifer knows that the most important words being spoken today is not what the president of the USA or the leader of the EU or China or India or Japan say. It is not what we hear on our television channels. It is when a Christian opens his or her mouth and begins to speak about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then Satan declares an emergency. He declares an emergency. He sends battalions of angels to stop that one person. So we need to understand how important the gospel is, the great value of the gospel. And we need to treat it accordingly. It is clear then that no one understood the gospel, and no one was even willing to attempt to understand it. Like I said, one reason is that Satan was doing everything in his power to keep people ignorant of the gospel. In the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 4, the Apostle Paul makes it clear what Satan is doing in regard to the gospel. He said, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Oh, praise Jesus. What a powerful scripture. The Apostle Paul should have known better than anyone else. As Saul of Tarsus, he was so blinded to the gospel of Jesus. That's why when Jesus struck him on the road to Damascus, he was blinded, literally blinded, because Jesus was showing him his real spiritual condition. People who oppose the gospel, people who mock the gospel, and even worse, who believe that they're doing the work of God by persecuting and killing the gospel, or people who propound and propagate the gospel, are blind. The God of this world has blinded them. So for 3 days and three nights, brothers and sisters, Jesus allowed Paul, Saul of Tarsus, to be blind. And he never forgot that. Without the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are blind. Just look around you. The people who don't know Jesus, they might as well go around walking as blind people, blind as bats. But without the gospel, there is no true vision. There is no true sight. The only correct sight is through the gospel. Praise God. So because of the above, it was left to God himself to share the gospel. He could not send angels. He couldn't send prophets and apostles. He came himself. He's the first to preach, repent, for the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Hallelujah. It was for this reason that the Apostle Paul states that our gospel is not of human origin. Let's repeat it. Our gospel is not of human origin. Amen. It is from heaven. It is from God. God is Jesus. And God was alone in this endeavor. Praise God. Let me remind you. There were many messengers of God in the Old Testament. Adam, Eve, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and the prophets. They all heard the words of God. They had messages from God. However, when it came to speaking about the gospel, God came himself to deliver the message personally. Praise God. Can we shout hallelujah?
Mm-hmm.
Who first preached the gospel? It's not Moses. It's not some. God came personally to tell us who he is and why he can save us. Whom do men say that I am? You see, he wanted us to know who it is that who he is. Because once you know who he is, then you won't have problems telling him, save me, Hosanna now, save me now. Praise God. You go to a doctor and you tell the doctor, please help me with my pain or my problem, because you believe the doctor is qualified to do it, isn't it? You don't go to just anybody and say, please, I've got a pain in my leg or my back. Can you heal me? They would look at us like we're crazy. So you first have to be convinced that the person who claims to be able to do a certain work is indeed qualified. Jesus spent a lot of time first convincing people that he is God. Amen. Because if we do not believe he is God, we cannot trust him to save us. We will not go to him for salvation. Hallelujah. Thank God we were able to believe and still believe Jesus is God, because only God can save. The gospel is useless if we do not believe that Jesus is God. Once we can believe by the grace of God that Jesus is God, then we will have no problem at all understanding that he had to die for our sins. He had to shed his blood, because without the remission of the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And the only blood that is good enough to remit our sins is the blood of God himself. That's why we say, we will not only say that our gospel is not of human origin, our God is not of human origin. And the way he saved us is not of human origin. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Isn't it wonderful, the gift of God? We have a gift from heaven. The flesh and blood of God himself, the Word made flesh. That is why nothing on this earth can destroy our salvation, because it did not come from this earth. It has nothing to do with this earth. Please understand this. Everything on this earth conspired and did everything they could to destroy the gospel. The last time I checked, the gospel is still alive on this earth. Hallelujah. Amen. They tried to burn the Bible. They burned people left and right. I took Brother Newhouse and Sister Newhouse, Brother Lash and his family, Sister Comfort, we went to the British Library. Because I wanted them to see The first Bible written in English by Matthew Tyndale. For those who read the Bible in English, whose mother tongue or first language is English, you love the language in which you understand the gospel and through which you were saved, isn't it? It's important. So the man, Matthew Tyndale, about 600 years ago, when England was still Catholic, this is before the time of Henry VIII and Anne Boleyn and that story, he went to the Bishop of London, Matthew Tyndale, and said, listen, I want to translate the Bible into English because back then it was only in Latin. He said, give me permission to do that. And he was a bishop. He was a theologian. And the Bishop of London told him, are you crazy? How can we trust the peasants, the farmers with the Bible, with the Word of God? No, no, no. The Word of God can only be trusted in the hands of Catholic bishops and cardinals, etc., in a language that no one understands except those who are from, you know, the Roman Empire, basically. You know what Matthew Tyndale said? He said, by the time I'm finished and translate the Bible into English, that farmer, that peasant will know more of the Bible than you. And Matthew Tyndale set about to keep his promise. He published Bibles. He became what is called God's outlaw. He was hunted all over England. Where is this man? How is he publishing the Bible in English and filling England with these Bibles? And people are reading the Bible in their own mother tongue and were so happy. In the end, they deceived him, arrested him, and they burnt him on the stake. And when the flames were consuming his body, Matthew Tyndale shouted famously, Lord, open the eyes of the King of England. And in about 100 years or so, England was no longer Catholic. God heard the prayers of Matthew Tyndale. And not long after, King James himself commissioned the famous King James Bible that we in the English-speaking world love and cherish, isn't it? 1611, King James Version. So I just shared this brief history to remind you. And we saw the original copy. And I felt a need to honor the memory of Matthew Tyndale. So you see, the gospel is not of human origin. God will raise up Matthew Tyndale's and Martin Luther's and all these different types of people who were bold, who sacrificed everything, so the gospel can continue to spread and be propagated. Hallelujah. Thank God that the gospel is not of human origin. Whenever you open your Bible, remember you are reading a book with content which is inspired by God himself. It is not made on earth. It may be written by humans, but the message and the inspiration, the compilation of the book is of heaven. It is of God. Praise God. So we need to understand. My message is about the gospel, that it's not after man. It's not of human origin. I want to encourage you to understand. We are not alone in witnessing to people, in trying to live according to the standards of this book. Because the God behind this Bible is here with us. Jesus is here with us as the Holy Ghost to defend this Bible and to help all those who love this book, love this gospel. Amen. We are not alone. The God who protected his book is here to protect us. We are with a book, with a gospel that is not of human origin. Praise God. So when it came to speaking about the gospel, God came himself to deliver the message personally. Don't forget that. Who preached the gospel first? Jesus. Let's all say Jesus. Who is the first preacher about himself? Only Jesus. Every other preacher preaches about Jesus. Only Jesus preached about himself. Hallelujah. That is why it says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Let us look at the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. It says, hath, that is God hath, in these last days, spoken unto us by who? Say with me, by his son. I'm afraid I don't want to digress, but sometimes when I talk to some people, Christians, it seems that they are following a certain preacher. They might as well call their religion by the name of that preacher. Just like the people who say, the Reverend, or what do they call him? The Reverend Elijah Muhammad teaches us. The Reverend Elijah Muhammad teaches. That's what Malcolm X and Muhammad Ali used to keep repeating, isn't it? The Reverend, Elijah Muhammad. At least they were very honest about who they are following. But sometimes in the Christian church, you will find people just repeating the name of some preacher, a human being, as if they are the gospel themselves. Where did you get the gospel? Do you know that some ministers will not accept you as a Christian unless they witness to you and unless they baptize you? Otherwise, you're not a Christian. God have mercy. Look, let us say together, our gospel is not of human origin. If you are quoting to me the name of a human being, then your gospel is of an earthly origin. We don't follow gospel by some earthly person. We thank God for some earthly minister helping us to understand the word of God better. But don't forget, Jesus preached first. Even Peter and others said, this is a message which the Lord preached first. Amen. They're not preaching something new. They're preaching what they heard Jesus preach. Hallelujah. But today when you talk to some people, it's like, have you heard of Reverend so-and-so? I pray to God nobody in our church will ever say, have you heard of Brother Paul Thomas? I hope they never hear about Brother Paul Thomas. I hope they hear about Jesus through Brother Paul Thomas. Forget Brother Paul Thomas. Remember Jesus. Hallelujah, amen. The time has come to get rid of these false gospels because they are building empires to human beings. They are building buildings with the names of human beings. They will not allow you to come to their church, or they will be skeptical of you unless you are baptized by that bishop or that minister. No, no, no. This is not Christianity. Let's say together with the Apostle Paul, I certify, I assure you, the gospel, amen, that I preach is not according to man. I did not receive it from human. Ultimately, we all received it from Jesus. Can we say that? If you didn't receive your gospel from Jesus, if it's not coming from the Bible, then your gospel is of a human origin. God have mercy. But we can proudly say today, my gospel is not of human origin. It's from Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, Hebrews 1, verse 2 and 3 says, hath in these last days spoken unto us. Who spoke to you in these last days? Somebody says the Reverend Joseph Smith. My goodness. The Prophet Muhammad. So and so. The Reverend Moon Sung or whatever. Sun Moon, whatever. Listen. Neither did the sun speak to us nor the moon. Only Jesus Christ. That's the son we are talking about. Amen. Hath in these last days spoken to us by his son. If God did not speak to us by his son, we have not heard from God. We have not heard the gospel. Whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Who made the world? Say, the Son of God made the worlds. So this must be God. Absolutely, because Jesus himself said in Matthew 19:4, have you not read that he which made, created them. He which created them. Amen. What did God say in Isaiah 44, verse 8? He spoke about the fact that he stretched the earth by himself. Hallelujah. He stretched the heavens alone by himself. Amen. So, the God of the Bible is a God. Sorry, Isaiah 44, verse 28. Amen. He stretched the heavens alone. He spread the earth abroad by himself. Amen. There's nobody with him, alone, by myself. And now the Bible is saying God made all things by through the Son. So the Son is the only God. He is the God. He's the true God. 1 John 5:20, John said, the Son of God is the true God. Say, is the true God. Who is the true God? Jesus is the true God. Because in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, verse 9. Oh, hallelujah. Who preached to us? Say, God preached to us. What is the gospel we have received? From where? Say, from God, from Jesus, from the Son, who is also the Father. So Isaiah, because it says, let me finish for Hebrews 1, verses 2 and 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. The right hand is the place of power. It is the place of Jehovah. So this proves the Son is Jehovah. Isaiah did not understand what he said in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Wonderful. The Son who will be born, the child who will be born, the Son given to us. Wonderful. Counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah didn't understand what he was saying. Neither did Micah understand what he said in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Thou, Ephrathah, Bethlehem, and Ephrathah. Out of he shall he come forth unto me, whose goings forth are from everlasting, from of old, from everlasting. If you ask Micah, what are you saying? He would say, I have no idea. I have no idea. Yet, these messages were so important that God could not trust anyone to deliver it. He had to deliver these messages himself. Have you ever experienced a situation where there is something you have to deliver to somebody personally? You can't trust courier services. You can't trust the postal service. Can't trust anybody. It's the same with the gospel. God could not trust anybody. Amen. There is no Moses here. There's nobody. You remember Moses? He even smashed the Ten Commandments. Because it's not his Ten Commandments. Hallelujah. Bless his soul. But when it comes to the gospel, God came. He waited for 33 years. Oh, my goodness. Only God has such patience. Only God has such patience. He had already waited for thousands of years. But now he waited 33 years. And then, boom, hallelujah, he declared the gospel, which is not of human origin. Let's say again, the gospel is not of human origin. It came straight from God. Praise Jesus. For 3 years, he selected and he taught 12 men. He was teaching them. In the beginning, he didn't even trust them to go and preach it. It took some time, you know. Two by two, a little bit of little rehearsal, a little practice. You see, God did not just give us the gospel. It's here a little, there a little. This is too precious. You don't give something just so that precious quickly. Then they had to come back and report. And he listened. Oh, praise God. Every time we go out to talk about Jesus, it's like the Lord is following. He's watching what we do. He's eagerly looking. Amen. This is Jesus' greatest, most precious message. We need to handle it with care. As Paul said, this message I received, it is from heaven. It is not according to men. Why is Paul saying this? Because there were some Judaizers coming from Jerusalem to confuse the people with him. And these people were trying to get people back to the law of Moses. So you know what Paul said? Listen, I certify to you. Please listen to me, sir. Unlike these people who are coming from Jerusalem with nonsense, I receive the gospel directly from Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. No, I did not talk to any human being. Galatians, listen to me. God appeared to me on the road to Damascus. I did not know who Peter is. If I would have found Peter, James, and John, I would have killed them. I was on the road to Damascus. Oh, Galatians, listen. And then I was struck by a beam of light. I fell off my horse. And I said, who are you? I heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I said, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Please listen carefully. The Apostle Paul never talked to Christians. He killed them. For the first time, he had to listen. He had to listen on the ground, on his knees, blind. Jesus knows how to make us stop and listen. Jesus knows how to discipline us to listen. Once I prayed to Jesus, strike that person down and let them listen to the gospel on the road to Damascus. I don't think we are called to pray that way. I was a bit too eager. But you see, some people don't want to listen when the gospel is being preached. But that day on the road to Damascus, you know, all the other people ran away. Jesus was not looking to them. He wants to catch one man. Jesus knows how to preach and save anybody. He can do it by force even, if he wants to. Amen. So on the road to Damascus, bang, he received the gospel which was not of human origin. Ask Paul, how did you receive the gospel? I received it from heaven, literally from heaven. Nobody on the earth could hear what was happening. Only I could hear. Praise God. This is Jesus' gospel. Jesus has the copyright. Nobody should try to pretend that they own the gospel. It's very dangerous. Human beings love to try to monopolize something because they want power. Do you know how to know whether somebody is not interested in power? Because they are very happy to give up power. They will tell somebody, you want what I have? Yeah, take it, go. I'm happy to have no power. When you find such a person, know that they're not interested in power. We are free from such greed and such power. I like to say I am free from such things. I like to be free for Jesus. I don't like to be owned by anybody except Jesus. He alone purchased me. It should be the same for you. When you are free, who made you free? For what? that I may serve him. So since Paul heard the gospel alone from heaven, the rest of his life, it makes sense that he was not going around trying to flatter human beings. Whether your name is Barnabas or your name is Peter, doesn't matter to Paul, because he received the gospel from heaven. You know why? You know why Jesus gave the gospel to Saul of Tarsus alone? So that tomorrow Peter and Barnabas cannot tell him, listen, Mr. Saul of Tarsus, have you forgotten that if I did not pray for you and you heard the words of Jesus from me, you would be nothing today. You know, Jesus is wise. Jesus knows how to ensure that we will be directly under him, not under human beings. And listen very carefully to what I'm saying. You will meet many pastors, many leaders who want to try to colonize you, to make you, manipulate you. But you know, without me, without my prayers, without my name, you know, while you are mentioning the name of Jesus, they want you to mention their name also. If you say Jesus five times, you should say one time the name of that pastor. I'm speaking about something very serious. It's true. It's a disease. May Jesus deliver us from this disease. You don't need to mention anybody's name. Just mention the name of Jesus. Give glory to the name of Jesus. The apostle Paul on the road to Damascus met Jesus. Jesus told him, go into Damascus and it will be told you what to do. He received instruction straight from heaven. He said, what will you have me do? Hallelujah. Do you know that Jesus did not even tell Ananias, Ananias, you will be his leader. Let him be quiet, be his boss, be his pastor. Nothing. This man, you know what Jesus told Ananias? He said, this is a chosen vessel. He will take my name to the... Immediately, even Ananias knew this man has a greater ministry than me. Praise God. That's why Ananias said, my job is only to baptize him in Jesus' name and let Jesus... I won't try to dominate over this man because God has a very powerful call for him. Amen. Listen, we don't own anybody's soul. I don't know what Jesus called you for. You don't know what Jesus called me for. Let everyone be the servant of Jesus. Let everyone, and I'm speaking to all of us, because we human beings have a tendency. We like to, when Jesus gives you freedom, you like to come and sell your freedom to a human being. Don't sell your freedom to a human being. Be under Jesus. Jesus will tell you to go to Ananias. Jesus will tell you to go to the man of Macedonia. Amen. But Jesus didn't tell us to go and worship human beings. God have mercy. Say with me, the gospel I received is not of human origin. It's not of human origin. Amen. So, I was saying earlier, even the 12 apostles, Jesus told them he came to die and that he would rise up. Did any of them believe what he's saying? None of them. They rebuked him. That's why God could not trust anybody with the gospel. Do you know that while Jesus preached to them that he will rise and he will die, he will rise, nobody believed it until he rose up from the dead. That's when they began to believe it. You see? Do you know the most difficult thing for people to believe was the gospel? The death, resurrection, and the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It was too difficult to believe. So Jesus had to demonstrate it. Say with me, demonstrated Jesus. He demonstrated. That's why Thomas said, unless I see him and put my finger in his nail prints, in his sides, I'm not going to believe. Do you know that Jesus not only had to preach the gospel, he had to prove the gospel to them. Hallelujah. He had to show it to them that he will die and rise up the third day. That's why they are called apostles. That's why they are special people. They are the only people who witness these things. No one else has witnessed it. Not even up the apostle Paul. He did not see the body of Jesus being buried. He was not the one depressed and ran back on the third day to the tomb. But these apostles, but nevertheless, he's an apostle. And he refused for anybody to look down upon him. He said, because ultimately, yes, I was not a witness like those people, but let me tell you, my gospel is not of this earth. I may not have been there to see these things, but nevertheless, Jesus appeared to me himself and preached. Therefore, I am no less than Peter. I am no less than John. I'm no less than anyone. Hallelujah. And you see the works that I'm doing, he said, through the power of the name of Jesus. Is there anything less you have seen? The gospel is not of human origin. When it comes, Jesus comes in the same way that he came to the Galileans. You know, there was a guy who once said, I feel certain Jesus was a Welshman, was from Wales, because he seems to speak my language. I'm sure a Ghanaian will say, I'm sure Jesus is Ghanaian because he speaks my language. When I pray to him, when I read my Bible in Chui, the Italian will say something, I am certain, mamma mia, Jesus is Italian. He speaks Italian. When I read the Bible, when I pray, he's speaking, mamma mia, in Italian. He's Italian. The Japanese guys will say the same thing. Jesus becomes all things to all men and all women. He wants you to know him as your father. Amen. Do you have a father who speaks another language? Let's say you're from Jamaica and you say, my father speaks Japanese. I don't understand him. We have never understood each other. Excuse me? That's a strange thing. If I am born of Jesus, who is my father, amen, then I should understand his language. I am local to him. He's my family. Hallelujah. But you know what? Some people want to make it sound like, only we know Jesus. I know Jesus. Come here. Let me tell you how Jesus is. And what do you want to say to Jesus? I will pass on the message to him. It's like two brothers in a family. And one brother does all the talking to the father. And the other brother does not talk to the father because he can't communicate to them. So he goes to the other brother and says, brother, can you tell our father this? And says, okay, I will. This is the kind of Christianity some pastors want to make in this world. In Jesus' name, no. Say with me, he's my father. Amen. I am born of Jesus. He's my father. My father speaks my language. I have ownership of the gospel myself. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. Do we need an interpreter to speak to Jesus? Oh, we need an interpreter. Jesus speaking, I'm sorry, just a moment. Wait, Jesus. Come here, interpreter, please. How much do you take for your services? 1 hour? And then we pay the preacher. Please, can you translate what Jesus is saying? This is what Christianity has become now. God have mercy. Let us go back to the beginning. Amen. Even the Samaritan woman went and told the people, this man told me everything I did. He's like a Samaritan for me. Huh? Even the enemies felt Jesus is one of them. Today, Jesus is Ghanaian. Jesus is Angolan. Jesus is Jamaican. Jesus is American. Jesus is Norwegian. Jesus is everything to us. Amen. Don't let anybody tell you he's a foreigner to you. Don't let anybody tell you they can help you to understand Jesus. No. On the day of Pentecost, Jesus spoke every language, isn't it? I'm not exaggerating. Every language of the people who were there, Jesus spoke it. To tell them he's not a foreigner to your country. He's our Father, hallelujah, amen. Say, my Father, Abba. When you get the Holy Ghost, you say, Abba, Father. Do you call somebody Abba, Father, who's not your father? That would be weird, isn't it? That would be weird. So this kind of weird relationships with fathers in the church, we have to get rid of it in Jesus. He's our Father. We speak his language. He's local. We have ownership. Don't let anybody come and tell you and act like, no, you don't know nothing. Let me, God have mercy. Say to them, the gospel I received is not of human origin. Amen. Whatever you receive from Jesus, I can also receive. We are not less. It's time we have equal relations as brothers and sisters in the sight of Jesus. Praise God. That's how it was in the beginning. Jesus washed all of their feet, even Judas's feet. We should all wash each other's feet. Praise God. So, the gospel is not of human origin. You see, later, the apostles, it took a lot of time, painful for them to understand. Now we understand everything. They became witnesses of the gospel that transpired before their eyes. They were there at the grave. He appeared to them when he was resurrected. He showed them the nail prints. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 24, Paul says, Peter said, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death. Because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Praise God. It was clear the gospel was not of human origin. That's why Jesus appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus. And not only that, brothers and sisters, Jesus took Paul to Arabia to teach him the gospel. Arabia. Have you ever heard of a Bible college in Arabia? Somebody says, where did you do your Bachelor of Theology? In Arabia. Excuse me. No. The only place you can study the Bible and theology is in Jerusalem. Listen, Jesus decides where he will teach us about himself. He appeared on the road to Damascus. That is also Arabia. And then he took him down to Arabia. And I believe that was Mount Horeb. Arabia, and taught him the gospel. Praise God. Jesus can take you to Timbuktu to teach you the gospel. He can take you to Bangladesh to teach you the gospel. He took me to India. And later he brought me to Norway to learn about one God doctrine. And then he took me to Ethiopia to learn a little bit more. Jesus decides where my education in him will take place. The place is not important. The origin is important. Hallelujah. May the Lord take you to Arabia to learn about him, to study about him. Praise God. Jesus wanted Paul to receive independent verification directly from his own mouth because the gospel is not of human origin. Can you imagine the surprise that Peter, James, and John must have experienced when they met Paul and they sat with him and said, tell us, brother, how do you know all these things? You know about the flesh of Jesus. You know about the temple mystery. So which apostle was it that taught you? Is it Barnabas? Paul would say, no. So who was it? Jesus took me to Arabia. In Arabia, he was... Praise God. I'm sure Peter and John, James looked at each other shocked. It's not only in Galilee, Peter. It's not only in Jerusalem, James. Jesus can teach anybody about him anywhere in the world. Praise God. The gospel is not only not of human origin. Jesus decides where he will give you instructions and teachings and revelations. Hallelujah. So next time you read the letter to the Galatians or the Romans or Ephesians, remember, the revelation was given in Arabia. Amen. Don't look down upon the kingdom of Muhammad. Something good came out of that place. Jesus took Paul there and taught him the mysteries of the gospel. Hallelujah. Definitely not in Arabic. I don't think Paul spoke Arabic. But next time you meet a Muslim, you should say, you know, most of my New Testament is actually revealed in Arabia. Amen. So we need to thank God that he is sovereign. Let's say sovereign, sovereign. God is independent and he decides what he wants to decide. He's trying to make people understand it's not Jerusalem, it's not this, it's not God does what he wants, when he wants, where he wants. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. So, God does not want anyone to boast in his sight. Nobody should say, I have a birthright to the gospel. You have a birthright? Excuse me, what? Are you Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? What birthright? Because my father is a preacher, my mother is a believer in Jesus. You have no birthright. Everybody has equal birthright to the gospel. Amen? There is, you do not inherit the gospel, brother and sister. We do not inherit. You have, Jesus does not have grandchildren and great-grandchildren. He doesn't have such a thing. He only has children. He has only sons and daughters. Hallelujah. Right now, there are new sons and daughters. Jesus is himself giving birth to. Praise God. No grandchildren for Jesus. Only children. Direct sons and daughters. You know, what is the problem with grandee? The grandee does not give birth. Jesus gives birth, spiritual birth. Hallelujah. So, why did God give the gospel to Paul in such a way so that Paul said, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, so that nobody will claim to have a monopoly. Amen. Nobody can say, this Paul did not receive the gospel in Jerusalem, therefore we cannot accept him. Big mistake. This man is chosen by God to write most of the New Testament. Let's read Galatians chapter 1, verses 12, 15, and 16. Galatians chapter 1, verses 12, 15, and 16. Paul says, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it. How about that? Neither was I taught it? Come on, Paul. Somebody must have taught you the gospel. No. But by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. What a powerful declaration, Paul. Sorry, Barnabas. Sorry, James. Sorry, John. Sorry, Bartholomew. Sorry, Matthew. Paul, in one sentence, he does away with all human beings. I was not taught by anybody, nobody, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Can we say amen? Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. But when it pleased God, somebody say, please God, verse 15. If it pleases God, why does it not please human beings? You know, many things which please God, they don't please human beings. Yeah? When the Bible says it pleased God, that in him should the fullness of the Godhead dwell. They say, no, 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 it does not please us. So what pleases you, my friends from the doctrine of the Trinity? What pleases us is that we will make three persons in the Godhead. This is better. So what pleases God does not please human beings very often. God have mercy. Can we say what pleases God should please us? If it please Jesus, it should please us. So it pleased Jesus to separate Paul from his mother's womb. And said, he called me by his grace. Oh, hallelujah. Let's rejoice at what God is pleased. Amen. He said, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. He said, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. He's making it clear. He did not talk to human beings. His gospel is, it will be contaminated with human beings. There are some things you need to talk to only Jesus. If he's sending you to Arabia, don't go to Israel. Go to Arabia. Amen. Nobody can say, is there any good thing which comes out of Arabia? They used to say the same thing about the Galilee. But good thing came out of Galilee and good thing can come out of Arabia. The revelation of our New Testament written by the Apostle Paul came out of Arabia. Is this something new you are hearing today? Whenever we hear Arabia, we say Bin Laden, 9/11, fanatic shouting, nothing good comes out of Arabia. Hijab. Let me tell you, the revelation of the Apostle Paul came out of Arabia. The book of Corinthians, the book of Galatians, the book of Ephesians, the book to the Romans came out of Arabia. Seems very quiet here. Amen. Praise God. I mean, quiet means, no, there's activity in the chat room. Good. It's not quiet. Say, thank God for Arabia. Say, thank God for Arabia. Say, much of my New Testament revelation came from Arabia. Next time, remember this. Tell a Muslim. Do you know much of my New Testament is the revelation came in Arabia? That's what Paul said. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. What a strange thing Jesus does, eh? He took you to Arabia to give you the revelation of the gospel of who Jesus is. Listen, if Ruth could get the revelation of one God in Moab, say amen. If the people of Nineveh could get the revelation from Jonah that the God of Israel, the one God, is angry with them and they repented, why can't God give the revelation of circumcision is baptism? He told the Colossians, that you may understand the mystery that I have received. Oh, wow. Colossians 2, 11 to 13. Circumcision is New Testament baptism to cut off the body of Adam. Where did you get this revelation? In Arabia. I'm sure they had a problem to say amen. In Arabia? Is God now giving all these revelations in the land of Ishmael? In the land of the enemy. God have mercy. Amen. You know, God makes fun of us. God likes to mock the world. The things which human beings want, it has to be this way. God will turn it upside down. Praise God. Amen. May more revelations about Jesus come out of Arabia. May it come out of India. May it come out of Sri Lanka. May it come out of the land of the Buddhists and the land of the atheists, in Jesus' name, praise God. Because Jesus will mock the world. Amen. You know, Jesus took the best student of the schools of the rabbis, Saul of Tarsus. He took him to Arabia. And over there, in Tarsus, he learned about Socrates and Plato. In Jerusalem, he learned about the law of Moses. But in Arabia, he learned about the mystery of the gospel. God bless Arabia. Amen. Jesus decided. I keep repeating it because this is even interesting for me. I didn't prepare this. God is saying something. The things that we consider foolish, the things we consider base, the things that are nothing, God takes those things and makes it something so that no flesh will boast in his sight. Oh, praise God. May Jesus take you to Arabia and do something marvelous in your life there in Jesus' name. It is important to understand that none of us have received the gospel as a birthright. Someone may have witnessed to you, but it was the Spirit of Jesus who illuminated your understanding and did the work of grace and salvation in your soul. Say amen. No minister can do that. No sister can do that. God will not allow individuals to claim power over your soul because his children are born of his seed, not human seed. Say amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The gospel of Jesus should be a direct inheritance from our Father. Say with me, direct inheritance. Say the gospel is a direct inheritance. No human being should claim to be the source of our salvation. We must own the gospel as a direct gift from our Father Jesus. Amen. Praise God. That the gospel which is of human origin has no power. It will not last. The day that minister and that church will collapse, you will collapse. Because they say they cannot say anything without mentioning the name of that pastor or somebody. God have mercy. If our children hear the gospel only from us and they have no independent relationship with Jesus, such a gospel will crash. The moment we die, they will say, free at last, free at last. Make sure, or whoever you are with, make sure they talk to Jesus on their own. They meet Jesus on their own. Amen. Tell them, I cannot be your father in the gospel. Jesus has to be your father to give birth to you. I can't give birth to you. Only Jesus will give birth to you. No church will give birth to you. That is a very strange doctrine. What church is giving birth to children? There is no, only Jesus gives birth. I just read the scripture that being born again of what? Of a church? It says not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth. I have a question for you. Is the church this incorruptible seed? That will be blasphemy. The incorruptible seed is the word of God. The word of God is God. The church is not God. So if somebody is claiming, and I say this with love, I love my Ethiopian brothers and sisters in Apostolic Church of Ethiopia, but they need to get rid of this doctrine. They're claiming to be a mother who gives birth. Are you the word of God, which is incorruptible? Because Peter said, we are born again by the word of God. Only the word of God can give birth. Please understand this. No church is giving birth to anybody. The church itself was born of Jesus on the day of Pentecost by baptism in Jesus' name and receiving the Holy Ghost. The church cannot give birth. What kind of doctrine is this? We need to pray and fast for our Ethiopian brothers and sisters that they are not blinded by such a false doctrine. To think that the Apostolic Church of Ethiopia can give birth to people is dangerous. It's blasphemy. Only we are born again by the seed. Galatians 3:15 is the first time God speaks about the seed of the woman. Who is the seed of the woman? It's Jesus. Who gives birth? Only Jesus. Because he alone has everlasting life. He gives birth through his flesh and blood and spirit. That's why in 1 John 5:8, he says, when you come to the water, the spirit, and the blood are one. Amen. The work of giving birth only belongs to Jesus. Don't let any church fool you. This is monopoly. This is colonization. This is blasphemy. Only Jesus is our Father. He is called Everlasting Father. No church is called Everlasting Father. The Bible never tells us to call even anybody mother. Where is a mother? When Paul is speaking about mother, it's an allegory. Allegory. What is an allegory? Metaphor. It's not real. Jesus is the seed of God. The word seed. Only he has the power to give birth to children. He is the firstborn among many brethren. I was teaching this last week. Do not ever accept a teaching which says a church gives birth to somebody. There is no church that ever gave birth to anybody. Even in the book of Acts chapter 2, the Bible said clearly, God added to the church such as should be saved daily. Who added? Not the church. God added, Jesus added to the church such as should be saved daily. If the church was the one giving birth, I am telling you, Peter would not have allowed Cornelius to be in the church. It's not Peter's business who is in the church. He has no power over this. I say with love to Peter. That's why God cannot give the church such power. The church will bring only their friends. We will only bring people who look like us and talk like us. No, no, no. God added to the church daily such as should be saved. Even Jesus did not allow Peter to talk for too long. He himself gave the Holy Ghost to Cornelius. He gave birth to Cornelius. Are you with me? Jesus gave birth to Cornelius, not the church of Peter, not the church of Jerusalem. They did not like foreigners. Hallelujah. Please, the church needs, Jesus needs to decolonize the church. Amen. We cannot allow any human being or any human organization to colonize us. May Jesus decolonize us so that we are independently serving Jesus. And when we come together out of love, out of equality. Jesus did not give birth to you in a better way than he gave birth to me. Huh? Let me repeat. Jesus did not. Is your birth more beautiful than my birth? Have you ever met children in a family who say, I think my mother loves me more because my birth was better than your birth? Oh, my mother gave birth to me with such love. That's why we don't even know how we were born. We have to hear from our mother after, or your father, if he was there. I was there when my children were born. All their births were difficult, by the way. So they're all equal. Ellen, are we acting like Jesus gave better birth to some of us? God have mercy. Every birth a mother gives is beautiful. She doesn't love one baby more than another. So in the same way, let me tell you, every person Jesus gave birth to, and Jesus has given birth to millions in the last 2,000 years, he remembers every birth. Is there a mother who doesn't know? We look at them and say, do you know this child here? Even if she has 50 children, she remembers all of them. Jesus knows every person he gave birth to. Come on. Hallelujah. It's not a church. Churches will kick you out. One day when you don't kiss the hand of the pastor, says, leave the church. But you know what? Jesus will never kick you out because he gave birth to you. Hallelujah. Amen. We kiss the feet of the Son, not the feet of a pastor. Please don't come and kiss my feet or my hands in Jesus' name. Kiss the feet of the Son, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, sometimes we have to, it becomes ridiculous. We are now comparing births. All births are painful. All births are labor. All births. Angels have rejoiced every time a child is born to Jesus. They jump. 2,000 years they are jumping, yes, for every soul that is born. So don't let any church cheat you now. The churches are becoming like Jonah. They're sitting there angry. Brother Newhouse preached beautifully in London about Jonah. It's like the church is like sitting there. And then the angels are jumping, rejoicing, and the child comes running. And the church says, go away from me, to the little baby. And the baby saying, give me milk, give me meat. Jesus gave birth to me. I need to grow. But you were not baptized by me. I'm not the one who put my hands on your head. These are Jonah churches, Jonah pastors. God, may God deliver us from. But, you know, whenever I hear somebody tell me, I don't care whether you're Trinitarian, whether you're Methodist, if you say to me, Jesus healed me, I rejoice. I say, amen. Because you use the name of Jesus. But if you tell me that John Wesley healed you, or Joseph Smith appeared to you, I have nothing to do with you. But if you say, Jesus, Because I have no way to know. I should rejoice at the name of Jesus that he's touching Methodists and Baptists. And my job is to try to now make them, they call themselves Baptist Methodists. Why don't you call yourself a child of Jesus? Let me take you to the Bible. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Into what then were you baptized? Ah, hallelujah. Praise God. That's my job. So let me conclude the message. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. 2 Timothy 1, verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Wow. I know whom I've believed. Of course, Paul, we followed your story. Do you know that the story of the Apostle Paul is amazing? Because God took this guy. He's not the one of the apostles in Galilee. But Jesus wants us to know everything about his life. Even more than the other apostles. Do you know that we know more about Apostle Paul than we know about most of the apostles? What do you know about the background of Bartholomew? Anybody? What do you know about Bartholomew? I wish I knew more. But with Saul of Tarsus, my goodness, I know where his city is from. Who was his teacher, Gamaliel? We know so many things about him. Jesus allowed this man's story, autobiography, to be written in the Bible. Ah, Jesus chooses. Say, Jesus chooses. He's sovereign. This is the man who met Jesus independently, and he said, I know whom I've believed. Why could he say that? He's not a grandson of Jesus. He has direct relation with Jesus. Let me conclude by issuing us a warning by saying the same Paul said, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5, this also means that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. We live in those days, brothers and sisters. Only those who have received the gospel which is not of human origin, only those people will overcome all of these things happening today. If Jesus is your father, you will overcome. But if Jesus is not your father, if the gospel you have received is of human origin, you will not prevail. Does Jesus speak to you as if he were from your own country, your own town, with your own accent? Then you will overcome, because you've received the gospel which is not of human origin. Amen. In John 6:45, it says, it is written in the prophets, they shall be all thought of God. Every man, therefore, that had heard and had learned of the Father cometh unto me. So let me conclude by saying, the gospel is not of this earth. It's the story of God coming to earth, dying for our sins, rising again. This story was not made up by a human being or any people. It's a message from God himself. Even though prophets and apostles talked about it, they didn't fully understand it until Jesus revealed it. Satan tried to keep people from knowing the gospel. That's why God had to personally share it. He taught his disciples and even appeared to Paul so he could understand it directly. This gospel isn't something we inherit from other people. It's a gift from God. And in these difficult times, only those who have received this gospel directly from God will endure. Jesus speaks to each of us in our own way, showing that the gospel is for everyone, everywhere. Say amen, and let's pray together. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for this message. I pray your people will once again understand the origin of the gospel. It is not of this earth. It is not of human origin. It begins and it ends with you, Jesus. You had to come and preach it because it is a pearl of great price. Nothing can compare to the value of the gospel. You entrusted it with 12 men whom you had to take out from their families and villages, train them 24/7 for 3 years. They had to see the gospel itself fulfilled, your death, your burial, your resurrection, because they didn't believe in it. But once they were convinced, you empowered them and you left this earth. And through them, we've received the gospel that you first preached in the Galilee. We thank you for this, Jesus. We ask that you help us once again to remember from whom we've received the gospel. Our salvation is not dependent on any human being or a church. It is dependent upon you. For you are the incorruptible seed. We are born again of you, the incorruptible seed. You're our Father. You gave birth to us. And you know every child that you've given birth to. You know the date, the time, the second when they were born. You rejoiced and the angels rejoiced. Yes, with the Apostle Paul, we certify today the gospel we've received is not according to men. It is of God. It is of God, it is by God, and it has been entrusted to us. Help us to make you proud. Help us to make you proud, Father Jesus. Bless your people today. Once again, help your people to rely less and less on human beings and more and more on their Father Jesus. We pray for those who believe erroneously that they somehow have the power over souls, that they give birth to souls and they can declare whatever they want about souls. That is not the gospel we've received. We bless you. We thank you. We give you the praise for every soul that loves you, that holds on to the gospel, everyone that does their best to live to the best of their ability with your help through the Holy Ghost to uphold the standards of God and to fulfill your standards, Jesus. Bless those who are struggling. Heal those who need a touch in their bodies in Jesus' name. Deliver those who are struggling with fear, with doubt in the name of Jesus. Set them free, loose them from the pangs of guilt and fear and every negativity in the name of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ came to set us free. Hallelujah. And he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I take authority in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Right now, in Jesus' name, set your people free. Loosen them from the hold of the enemy in the name of Jesus. Bless them so they may bless you back. Look after your people as you always have, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let them cast their cares upon you in the name of Jesus, for you care for them. Above all, I pray for their faith. I pray that they will grow stronger and stronger in their faith, that they will overcome the spirit of the times that we live in, defeat the spirit of the times we live in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Give them power, Jesus, hallelujah. Let every thought that exalts itself against the name of Jesus be brought under the authority of the name of Jesus. We cast down every imagination. In the name of Jesus, we arrest every imagination that is contrary to the name of Jesus. We bless you now. We bless you now. We bless you now. Bless every church that preaches this gospel, that loves this gospel, that understands this gospel is not of human origin. I pray you bless every service tomorrow, every minister, every musician, every exhorter in the church, every government, every help, every gift in the church, in Jesus' name. Bless your people. Encourage the backsliders to slide back to you, Jesus. Let them return. Speak to them tonight with a still small voice as you spoke to Samuel. Tell them to return, for you are returning soon. You're returning soon. Tell them to return, Jesus. Tell them to put their house in order, Jesus. Tell them, hallelujah, that time is no more, Jesus. And eternity is a long time to regret, Jesus. Have mercy on the backsliders in Jesus' name. Deliver them from procrastination and dilly-dallying in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Hallelujah. We bless you. We pray for our children. We pray, Jesus, that they will experience a sudden desire to serve you, to love you. We pray that right now they will feel no appetite for this world in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. We pray that they will experience the one of whom John said, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, hallelujah. Jesus Christ overcomes kingdoms, overcomes tyrants and powers and dictators. You will overcome the sins of this world, hallelujah, through your spirit. Empower them, Lord, to forsake the world, to desert the world, abandon the world. Jesus, grant them grace to sever ties with the world in the name of Jesus. For in this world there is no good thing. The lust of the eyes and the flesh leads only to destruction and emptiness and regret. I pray that they will say goodbye to the world once and for all in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do this for your name's sake, Jesus. Do this because you respect the prayers of your people, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, you did it for Saul of Tarsus. He did not ask to know you. But oh, in your mercy, you reveal yourself. Hallelujah. I pray your love will compel the young to return. In Jesus' name I pray, hallelujah. Glory be to the name of Jesus. And the church said, amen, amen, amen.